You're now listening to The Brian Callen Show with your host, Brian Callen.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is The Brian Callen Show. By the way, I will be, just so you guys know, if you're in Los Angeles, I'm going to be with Dove Davidoff co-headlining the Pasadena Playhouse, Pasadena Ice House this Friday, tomorrow, and Saturday. And only come if you want to laugh really hard for an hour and a half or 2 hours, because we have that capacity. And then I'm going to be at Calusa Casino. I don't even know where that is. It's outside of Sacramento on Friday, May 2nd. And then I'll be in Edmonton, and then I'll be in Toronto. I'm doing a Canada run, my favorite. Well, we have a young lady named Asa Akira, who, if you're a porn fan, you know her name. And maybe even if you're not a porn fan, you know her name. But I just read her book, Insatiable. It's a great name for a book. And I just want to give a shout out to David Cho, who did the cover art. I kept looking at it. I thought, this is an amazing painter. So well done on choosing the writing and the artist.
Thank you. He's my friend. We do a podcast together, and he's been my friend for a while. But we have the same book agent.
You do?
Yeah. So like, he was really pushing for it too. And I'm so lucky that like, he's my friend and he would do a cover for me.
You've lived an how old are you?
I'm 29.
You look younger. You've lived an extreme life, let's be honest. In the sense that, have you done every drug except for heroin and crack? Yes. Have you been to jail? Yes. Have you done gangbangs? Yes. Do you continue to? Yes. Have you written a book? Yes. Do you have a lot of fans? Yes. Do guys all over the world jerk off to you? Yes. Are you okay with that at 29? Yes. Are you married? Yes. It just goes on and on. And what I appreciate about the book and sort of is just how honest you are. Now, you might be, you know, there's a part of you that's probably narcissistic.
Oh, for sure. I think anyone who does a podcast is a total narcissist.
I don't know about narcissist. I think maybe, like, for me, I'm never going to get rich or famous off this podcast, but for me, I kind of decided it's a good opportunity to talk to people who I wouldn't get to talk to otherwise. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of, for me, it's very interesting because I have historians and scientists.
Right.
And then I think the other podcasts for me are just about comedy, and I just, it's the way I communicate with people.
Right.
That's my form of intimacy, right?
I think comedians are kind of narcissists too. Same
sure.
with porn people, porn performers. I think what porn performers and comedians really have in common is like, we're narcissists while at the same time being like the most insecure people in the world. Like, we hate ourselves,
right.
But we really love ourselves. It's weird.
Yeah, that's I can absolutely draw correlations. I've done it before between porn stars and stand-up comics, mm-hmm. because in many ways, I'm turning around slowly. Hey, everybody, look at me. I'm going to make you laugh. And by the way, it's a physical process. You're
mm-hmm.
out there alone, and you're in front. It's just so unnatural and weird. I mean, I literally get up there, and it's what I got in trouble for my whole life in school.
Right.
Right. But having said that, it's still socially acceptable. Like, I walk around mm-hmm. and everybody wants to be around me. I'm going to do this big benefit for Chelsea Clinton and all these famous people. Whereas you're still an outlaw if you're a porn star. And the
totally.
Reason is because you were raised, I'm not even saying your parents, but you know, even your parents, I read the letter to your moms. You were still raised in Manhattan. In any society, including this one, as liberal as this society is, you do what people tell you not to do.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you're a bad girl. You're mm-hmm. you're absolutely the extreme of a bad girl. This is outrageous. Nobody wants their daughter doing this. Nobody wants their wife doing this. Nobody wants blah, 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 blah. So the first thing that most of us jump to the conclusion is she's got to be crazy. She's got psychological problems. You know, you've heard it all.
So, sure.
but then again, then you meet somebody like you or Tara Patrick or Alana Evans, who's a friend of mine. And what is interesting is that at least on the surface, you're like on time. You've got it together. You make lots of money. You've got a book you wrote. There's nothing about you that's lazy or undisciplined.
No, definitely not. And I mean,
you look really good, by the way, in person. You look really healthy. So what's going on?
I don't know. And like, part of, so I've never been raped that I like really know of. And I mean, unless it's like a repressed memory thing,
Right.
But I had a normal childhood. My parents are still together. My dad is like really present in my life. I have a great relationship with my family. So I don't know why I'm in porn. I don't, I really don't know why. And like half of me wants to see a psychiatrist to see like what's going on with me.
You've never seen a psychiatrist?
No. As an adult, no. It would be interesting,
right? It
would
be, right?
But yeah. The thing is, I'm like, what if they reveal something about me and then I become miserable because of it?
I've felt that way before too, you know. One time I never really saw a shrink and my friend said, if you saw a shrink, dude, they'd open a can of worms. And then subsequently I've gone to see shrinks and I don't feel that way.
Oh.
I've always felt very much on the outside looking in. I've always felt like the most inappropriate guy in the room.
Right.
I've always been a pervert. I mean, I don't watch porn anymore, and not because I don't have a problem with it. It doesn't get me off anymore. I don't know why. Maybe I'm older. I'm 47 and I just need other shit. But like part of, I guess, what I'm drawn to with fighters, with even porn people or just outlaws in general, I feel comfortable around those people sometimes. And maybe it's because everything about them is out on the table. I'm sure you have psychological issues. So do I. I'm sure you may have very big psychological issues. I don't know. Maybe you don't, though. Maybe you don't. Maybe. Like a lot of us, you might just be a narcissist, or maybe you like fucking because you're a pervert. Like I, you know, I said to Joe Rogan one time, I go, dude, I think I have high testosterone because I think about sex all. And he goes, dude, you're just a pervert. You don't have a high testosterone. You're a perv.
Like
and
it's not a medical thing.
Yeah,
there's just a fucking perv.
Yeah, there's like this joke I always make where you know, I'll be. Like, I'll look around sometimes, and I'll be like at Disneyland, and I'll be like, I want to fuck strangers. Or I'll be at a party, and everybody looks so good, and I'm like, you guys take all this time to look good. Everybody's coupled up. Orgy! And everybody's like, no, I don't want to catch a disease. I'm married. It's all these excuses not to shake it up, and it just bums me out. In my own relationship with my wife, I'm always like, can we shake it up? She's like, no, I don't want to. I have kids. So I guess, I don't know what I'm asking you, but maybe I'm commiserating with the fact that I do think that there is a price to pay for what you're doing. You
for
probably
sure.
know about it.
Yeah, no. I mean, when you get into porn, you ruin your life. There's so many things I'll never be able to do now. Like, I'll never be able to work with kids. Mm-hmm. You know, I'll never be a politician. I mean, not that, like, I would want to, but, I mean,
right.
that option's totally out.
Right.
Or anyone that really associates with me.
Right.
That's out for them too. So I definitely know, but I think that everyone in porn, there's something that drew me to porn is the fact that it's so taboo, you know, and that it's not accepted by everyone. I think that is kind of part of, like, that's part of the allure for me.
So it's kind of a giant fuck you to the world?
A little bit, yeah. I like things that are unconventional and...
Where do you think that comes from?
I don't know. I really don't
know.
Were
you popular in school?
I moved schools a lot. So I had years where I was popular and then I had years where I was a total loser.
So, but you always wanted to be accepted and loved, obviously.
Definitely.
Yeah, I think that's
human. I mean,
even
now, like I feel lonely a lot. Like I'm a lonely person. I'm an only child. Like
right.
I wish, you know, I think I'm definitely always looking to be loved for sure.
You've always wanted to be a star.
Yeah, definitely. Like, I love attention.
Yeah.
I could never have enough attention.
Yeah, it's a hole you can't fill.
Yeah. Like, pay attention
no pun
to me
intended.
Is, like, the most commonly used term in my relationships.
Yeah, I would imagine the way to get your attention is to open a book and start reading and totally ignore you if you're dating you. You're like, come on.
No, I'm not, though. I'm not one of those. Like, I know that works on a lot of girls, like, when you don't pay attention to them.
Right.
But I'm the opposite. Like, if you don't pay attention to me, I'm not interested in you at all. Like, I only like people who really like me.
Well, one of the things I thought was interesting about the book is the things that actually turn you on. Crazy stuff.
Yeah.
Like, forbidden weird shit that you can't even explain. Like, when the guy texts you and he goes, have you ever fucked anybody with a dildo? And you were like, wait a minute, this guy's been texting
yeah.
me and that's kinky. No, but I'll be by. Or the guy...
Well, I wasn't into him at all until he texted me that and I was like, oh... I kind of like him now.
Why do you think you liked him?
I think, again, like it's the unconventional thing. And it was something I had done before for money, but never in my personal life.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just like a new kind of, I guess, a new high. Like I definitely seek new highs. I mean, even with porn or drugs or whatever. Like I like being obsessed with something new.
Well, sexuality is so all over the map. Like, I did Jason Ellis's serious radio show. I really like that guy. I never met him, and he's a pro skateboarder, and he lives on the extreme.
His show's great.
Oh, it's great.
I've never met him, but his show is really
great.
His show's
amazing, and he was with his girlfriend, and he's totally in love with her. Mm-hmm. And they were talking right on air about how they cut each other. Because I was with a girl one time, and she was like, we were back and forth, and when we were done having sex, she goes, "Ugh, I just want to drink your blood." And I was like, whoa. Like, she goes, "I just get so into somebody sometimes." And I was like, okay, well, that's kind of where I draw the line. You know, I was like, that's a little much. And call me crazy, I'm not into vampires. But Jason didn't even miss a beat. And he goes, "Yeah, we drink each other's blood. We cut each other." And she showed me her scars. And I was like, All right, you guys. But the way they were talking and how connected they were after 3 years, I'm sorry, it was downright romantic.
No,
it was
for sure.
Downright romantic. That's how much they love each other. And since then, I've told certain people, and like, people are like, "That's hot." Women.
Yeah.
Women are like, "That's kind of hot."
It kind of is. And it's, I mean, like, how, you can't really be, like, closer to someone than drinking their blood.
I know.
In theory, it's hot. I think in reality, I'd be like, AIDS.
Well,
AIDS,
yeah.
AIDS.
If you're a professional sex worker.
Yeah.
But what about your husband?
But
your
maybe
husband's
like that
in the
one
business.
Special guy, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, my husband is in the business. He's been in it 20 years.
What's his name?
Tony Rebus. So he's been in it a long time. And I mean, like, I wrote about, you know, our sex life, and like, we do have crazy sex sometimes.
Well, you were drawn because he was such a rough son of a bitch.
Yeah, totally. And we have sex like that, like, once in a while, but for the most part, it's very vanilla. And like,
it's intimate.
I feel like I need to make that clear. Like, that we have, like, 2-minute sex a lot, you know?
Yeah.
It's not always, like, crazy and...
Why marriage? And why did you decide to, like, create a formal connection with somebody?
Well, this is my second time being married. And I love relationships. And I love the idea of forever. And it's...
Really?
Like, ironically, yeah. I mean, I've never had a one-night stand. Like, I would never
have
sex with someone.
You have for money.
Well, yeah, that's different.
Yeah. Yeah. And you've had gangbangs. So your boyfriend's in the, your husband's in the business.
Yeah.
For 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
So is there a connection? Do you guys feel sometimes, do you think it's sort of like, well, here we are, these two outlaws in a world that doesn't understand us? Is that what it is?
That's definitely not what it is, although I do feel that connection with everyone in porn. Like, even the people that I'm like, "Ugh, I'm really not into you," at the end of the day, I do feel a connection with all of them because, yeah, we're, like, shunned from society, and we have that one huge thing in common. And I'm sure, like, they've been through a lot of things that I've been through. I'm sure, you know, they've lost friends and family that way, and...
My problem with anybody who shuns porn stars and things, because there are parties you would not be invited to, okay? That's the truth. It would just be considered gauche.
For sure,
right?
Yeah.
And my problem with that, my problem is the hypocrisy, because a lot of people watch porn, and it's a secret.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're actually watching porn and you're getting off on porn, or you use it to, you know, connect with your mate or whatever you use it for, and then you have a problem with you keep that a secret, or you I guess have a public judgment on that, and you shun that person. That's where I have a problem. That has always bothered me.
Yeah. No, it's totally fucked up. But at the same time, I don't want everyone to think it's okay. Like, I don't know why I feel that way, but the fact that, like even I'm sure, you know, like, when you make a joke, like, if every single person thought it was funny.
Right.
Like, that's, what's the fun in that?
I always say 20% of your audience, if you're a good comic, 20% of your audience should either not get you or be pissed off a little
bit. Yeah, like, you kind of want them to be a little offended, right? Some of them.
Yeah, that's what creates the fraternity. That's what, you know, that kind of, everybody wants to feel like a bad boy or a bad girl a little bit. Everybody wants to have an edge.
For sure.
You're as edgy as it gets in a lot of ways.
Well, no.
I mean,
I don't murder.
No.
That's pretty edgy.
I don't murder. That is true. I killed a drifter once, but let me explain. But you wrote a letter in the book to your future child, which is a little tongue in cheek.
Yeah, no, it was definitely meant to be like
A little humorous there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For sure. And
which I appreciated.
But there was also a lot of truth to it because,
you know, it's something
I'm really conflicted about. Yeah. Like, I want kids, but at the same time, I'm like, that's like a lot of pain to put on one kid, possibly. Mm. Like, I can't even imagine if, you know, I were like in sixth grade and some kid came up to me like, I saw your mom getting anally fucked.
Right.
Like,
right.
That's. Yeah. And it's going to happen.
Yeah.
And that's kind of like a lot to put on a kid.
It is.
So I'm. But at the same time, I don't think, you know, I feel like at like a really in a really primal sense, like if I don't have kids, what's the point of my life? You know what I mean?
Well,
like we're put here.
I understand
to
that. I understand that. But the point of your life might also be as an example. Your book is an example.
Mm-hmm.
Good or bad. You know, your book is a very honest stamp on who you are
mm-hmm.
and your journey. And I think people are interested in that. I mean, I'm interested in it. And I'm not even interested in judging it or figuring out what's wrong or because that's a maze. And I don't like using those words. I'm not a relativist either. I mean, I understand people would say what Asa Akira does when she's having gangbangs and then she's also married is a lot of people roll their eyes. Or mm-hmm. I'm sure you roll your eyes at times. I'm sure that it's conflicting to you. There is a side of that is crazy, extreme mm-hmm. behavior. And it sounds to me like you're as confused about it in some ways as anybody who would try to explain that because you're
for
kind
sure.
of a walking dichotomy.
Yeah, definitely.
I like using big words.
No, but you're absolutely right. I mean, and even like outside of work, I'm not very slutty.
Mm.
Like, I used to be actually though,
you
before
were?
Porn. Yeah.
Okay. Well, explain
before
that.
Before porn. Oh my God. Like there was a point in time where I was like between relationships and I was dating like 7 different guys and mm. every night of the week was dedicated to a different guy. But they didn't know about each
other. I've done it with women. I had what's called my stable.
And I was like, wow, that's really impressive.
Yeah.
And I was kind of proud of myself. But no, like I...
And you were having sex with all 7 of them.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. I would never like kiss someone that I wasn't going to have sex with.
Right.
Because like, what's the point?
Yeah.
You know? It's all or nothing.
What about, how long is the longest you've gone without sex?
Like any kind of sex?
Yeah.
Well, I've had an abortion, and then I couldn't have sex with it for like 6 weeks.
And what'd that do to you?
Probably. I was fine. And even now, like I can easily go like a month.
Really?
It's
so you're not so
I'm
much
not a sex addict.
Right. It's not a sex addiction.
No.
Do you know sex mm-hmm. addicts?
Yeah, I believe that I do.
In the business?
It's something that I didn't believe in until I got into porn. I think a lot of our guys are sex addicts.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, you know.
Less common in women?
I do think it's less common in women. I think women, I think like sex addiction and whatever it is that women have in porn, I think we're all definitely like looking for attention and love for
right.
sure. But I think with men, it's specifically like turns into a sex thing.
Like
even when they're in relationships, they're constantly like looking for the approval and like the sex outside of the relationship.
I've always wanted to get, if I had one wish, it might be to get inside a woman's head and see what it's, first of all, see what it feels like to have sex with a man. I've never been attracted to a man, but I want to see what that must be like. I've tried to imagine
that. Yeah, because I wish I had a prostate.
Yeah.
And then like to get fucked in my ass, I bet that would feel amazing.
Well, I don't know. I just want to know what it's like to be like, and that leads into my question. I watched, I'd never seen your videos.
Mm-hmm.
So last night I went on YouJizz and I watched like 5 of your videos. I kind of like watched, and you're either a really good actress or you actually enjoy what you're doing. So I would say it's both, right? I mean, you get in, you
I'm not a really good actress at all, actually.
In the book, you kind of explain how you find something to love about the person.
Totally. I mean, I can, yeah. Like, I can create a chemistry, or I try to create a chemistry with everyone that I work with. Or else, like,
that's
I don't
a
know,
gift.
That's just the fun of
that's a
for,
gift.
About it for me.
You find something attractive about whoever it is you work
yeah,
with.
Yeah, like, even in real life, I'm pretty sure that, like, every guy I've ever been with thinks he's, like, a superstar.
Oh,
afterward.
God bless you. Do you know how important that is to
but
a man?
That makes it fun. And, like, if the man is confident, then he's going to be really good. Whereas, like, you
listen,
know.
Listen, I am telling you, you have the secret. Every man wants to be admired. Like, I do this joke where I dated a girl, wasn't even a good person, but I moved her into my house because she sounded like she was falling out of a building when we'd have sex. Literally, I literally would, like, get off the bed, like, with my arms raised, like, winner, I'm done. Get thee to a nunnery. I'm done. I made a massacre with my little bit larger than average dick. I mean, that is the secret. It's the secret.
I think so,
men
yeah.
are territorial. We want to feel like we marked you. Like, I believe cock size. I think all that stuff is like, I want to just like, dude, you got, I gave her a permanent limp, bro. I gave her rug burns she can never get rid of. It's like, we just want to mark you. We want to have our,
for sure.
Right? It's like,
definitely.
All men are that way, aren't
yeah,
they?
Yeah, I think so. I think all men are definitely that way.
And you girls are always kind of laughing a little bit inside about it.
I guess, yeah, like when we're not like, around you. Like, if you weren't here, we'd be laughing about it.
Right. So what is it? The mystery to me is not, first of all, what is it that women really like about men? And I know it's all over the map. But secondly, that's an impossible question. Let me ask a more specific question. I watch your video, you're having sex with three guys. And man, do I believe you. I believe your face. I believe you're into it. And I know why you're so popular. I know why guys, my buddy, I have a friend who's a fighter who wanted to come and it's not Brendan Schaub, but I have a friend who's a fighter who wanted to come and he's a huge fan of yours.
Oh, cool.
And because he believes everything you do on mm-hmm. camera. So, and I believe that there's got to be a side of you, has to be a side of you that is enjoying that. However, then you have sex with your husband. Mm-hmm. That's a different kind of intimacy, a different kind of enjoyment.
Totally, yeah.
So can you explain the difference? In your mind, what's going on?
I think the difference is like not so much during the sex, because there are definitely times like when I'm on set, like in a porn scene, that like we're fucking and I'm like, whoa, I like really like this guy.
Is that a chemical thing, you think?
I think it's a chemical thing for sure.
Yeah.
And then I'll be driving home and I'm like, what the hell was I thinking? Like,
wow.
I would never date that dude. And I think the difference is that, like, after sex, I still love my husband.
You do?
Yeah.
What do you think you love about him?
He makes me laugh. That's, like, the most important thing. He's really, I'm very comfortable around him. I like the way he makes me feel about myself.
Feels like home.
Which is, like, such a selfish thing to say.
No.
But, like, a lot of, and it's really hard to date in porn. Like, I've been in so many relationships where, like, a lot of like passive aggressiveness. And of course, I get it. I mean,
the inevitable question, when are you getting out of porn?
Exactly.
Every
then,
guy wants to control and
right.
own.
So, and I get it. Like, I'm not mad at that at all. It's totally natural to feel that way. I understand that I'm the minority here.
Well, actually, though, it's more than that, isn't it? For both of you. Like, you're with your husband mm-hmm. and he's with you. What that actually means is that you both own a piece of each other that nobody else can own.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't it mean that?
For sure.
You know what I mean?
Definitely.
Like, yeah. So what does he own in you and what do you think you own in him? I'm not a psychiatrist. See, I don't know. These questions, I don't know.
No, that's
you know?
A hard question.
I know it is because I don't.
I mean, but I'm definitely the way we are with each other when we're alone is totally different than the way we are like out in the world.
I know,
sure.
but see, like with my, if I look at my wife, it's like I know, at least in my mind,
mm-hmm.
that I own that ass. that she's not having sex with anybody. I do what I want in bed with her. That's mine.
Right.
That's how most guys are, and she feels that way about me.
Right.
And if we stepped outside the boundaries, that's big problems because then it's divorce or it's like major, you know, the fucking windows break.
Right.
Which is, by the way, I wish all of us were a little less monogamous and were a little more understanding. I think we should all be swingers. That's just my personal opinion. I said it on the podcast. But I understand that. That is natural for all of us, probably even including you a little bit. Like the idea.
Definitely. I mean, for me, like, I think I'm way less jealous than the average person
mm-hmm.
when it comes to sex. Like, I'm super, super jealous. Like, if Tony were to take a girl out to lunch after a scene, I would just die. Like,
uh-huh.
it would be breaking windows.
Oh, shit.
Like, I would break his computer,
okay.
probably.
Now we're getting to it. Why? Because that would be an intimate, like
for sure.
they would share laughs.
Mm-hmm.
If you saw them laughing.
Exactly. Like, I don't care about the sex at all.
Right.
I mean, definitely there are those bad days where, like, I'm on my period and I'm like, what? You're working with her again?
Mm.
But again, it's an emotional thing. It's
yeah.
not the act of his penis entering her holes, nothing.
Right.
I'm totally okay with that. And, yeah. But thinking about him, like, having an intimate conversation with a girl and, like,
telling her a secret nobody else knows.
Or laughing at her jokes.
Ah!
Oh, I would die.
Oh, I would die.
I hope that he doesn't find any other woman funny.
That's amazing. That I understand that. I do understand that. I understand that 100%.
So, I mean, there's that. And then I guess, I don't know, but like the thing I like about him that he really understands that I haven't had in any other relationship since I've been in porn is like he genuinely wants me to have a good time when I'm at work. We're not swingers. We don't even have three ways.
Unless the camera's rolling.
Yeah.
And
well,
somebody's paying you.
Well, no, not even on camera. But I think maybe if we weren't in porn, we could possibly be swingers because we're both such sexual people.
Yeah.
But I mean, we're in porn and we're already fucking so many other people.
I mean,
anyway.
It's like being in a battlefield and trying to get a minute of conversation while bullets are whizzing by. It's almost like, you know what I mean? That's what I find so fascinating is that, yes, you're an you do gonzo, you do crazy shit, you're top of the game with that. And yet you as a human being still need that intimacy. You need to connect with a human being.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah. You need a home base.
It's almost like you want it even more or I want it even more because of what I do. Like porn is really lonely. Like, especially because like if I'm like working with Mandingo one day, right?
And that guy's got a dick on him.
Yeah. And then like I go home. And, like, the last thing I'm going to do if I'm single is put more makeup back on and then go out and then, like, fuck some guy. Like, no, my holes are, like, torn.
Yeah.
You know? So it's a lonely business.
My holes are torn.
And not only that, like, you know, there's already, like, that stigma. And it's just a very lonely business.
Well, what do you think about size?
I always say, like, if it's not too small and if it's not too big. Everything in the middle is like kind of
the same.
There's not that big of a difference. But I'm not a size queen. Like I've never been that girl who's like, I like big dicks. I think they're great for porn. Cause like it looks good.
Right.
And also like a lot of times when we're showing the penetration, we don't put it in all the way. So
I've noticed that.
Yeah. So like if the guy has a big dick, it's easier to do that and it's easier to like open up.
Is that angles. Because you need to shoot for a long time and if he's really slamming home, it's going to be a shorter shoot?
No. It's just easier to see the penetration.
Oh, okay.
It's strictly for, like, the visual of
right.
it.
Let's get back to lonely. That's interesting to me. You said that a lot.
Yeah.
And I get that. I think that, you know, for me, like as a comic, like I always talk about this, I'm on the road all day. I mean, I'm on the road, right? So what happens is I'm actually alone all day and I'm usually writing jokes or I'm obsessing over I'm about to shoot my next special. So I'm obsessing over the order of things or then I'm reading and then I go to the gym but I'm alone in a city. Nobody knows. And then I get on stage and then for 2 hours of that night, I'm the rock star.
Right.
And then I take pictures and then, you know, I hang out. I'll be like, oh, Brian, this, that, and the other thing. So it's one extreme or the other.
Yeah.
And then I go home.
Yeah.
And then I started all over again.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a very weird way to live. Like it is lonely because I can't actually share what it does to my brain.
Mm-hmm.
I can't even share. Like I have weird thoughts. I'll be talking to myself in the shower because I spend a long. I almost feel like I do jailhouse workouts in my hotel room. You just become literally like somebody on the outside looking in. And if you're a little bit famous, I mean, I'm not, but I mean, people know you. You know, when I go to different cities, they know who I am, or at least they've seen me. So they're already treating you a little bit differently, which is always nice. But it's also again another barrier.
For sure.
So I'm sure you kind of go
totally
through the same
that.
Shit.
And also, I feature dance once a month. So I think I live the same exact schedule as you. Like, shitty hotel room all day by myself. And you want to conserve your energy for the night. So you're just kind of like being alone all day.
And you're close to people and they want to take pictures and touch you.
Yeah.
And
Yeah. So definitely, I definitely get that. And, you know, like the thing you said about people treating you differently.
Mm.
I think that's such a big part of, like, I've started thinking recently that girls shouldn't be in porn at 18.
Too young.
Yeah, it's just too young. Like, they go straight from living with their parents to being treated like a star and making money for fucking. Like, it's just, you. How are you ever supposed to be a normal person with that? Like, you
it's
have
kinda,
no shot.
Because
it's
kind of
free
attention, right?
Yeah, and it's just, and you're not going to have that kind of attention forever. So, like, when they hit, like, 28 and their career starts going down, like, they're fucked.
Right.
Like, they never even knew what it's like to be a normal person.
But you're not that. I mean, for example, like the problem with porn, one of the things that I see as being a problem with a lifestyle like that is that you can get a lot of attention. It's a little bit like modeling, I'm sorry, but another more extreme. But you get a lot of the problem with things like being a really big model or being like, you know, a girl who fucks on film and gets a lot of attention is it's not necessarily tied to accomplishment. Mm-hmm. It's a skill that is not really a skill. It's more of a, you know, like if you're a really good tennis player, that takes years of practice and blood, sweat, and tears, or a fighter or whatever.
Right.
Even comedy, you know, it's like it takes at least 10 years to be a really good stand-up.
Mm-hmm.
You can figure out tricks and get comfortable in front of the camera, but, you know, it's not necessarily tied into that kind of an accomplishment.
No, it's, well, I think the difference is it's not a talent.
Right.
Like anyone can fuck.
There you go.
Like you don't even actually have to be good at it.
Mm.
You know?
You just have to be hot.
And like the same thing with modeling. It's not a talent to be pretty. Like,
right.
It's just like, boom, you're pretty. And
right.
then that's it. Like,
that's how
you
I
did
feel.
Nothing to earn that.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But I think,
But see, you know that.
Yeah.
And you're 29 and you've written a book, which actually did take time. And it's.
For
and,
sure.
And you thought about this book. It's a really honest. There's a lot of funny stuff in this book.
Thank you.
And I'm going to read some stuff for a second. I want to just read. On shooting scenes, at the risk of sounding overly dramatic, almost every time I shoot a sex scene, I fall a little bit in love. It's the only way I can describe it. Not necessarily with my partner, but just in general, with the situation, in love with being watched. Now, you could say the same thing for a lot of actors. When you're in an acting class and you have to do a scene, or you're doing a film and you have to be in love with that person, you may fucking hate them because they're divas and they're shitheads. If that scene's going to sell, you better find something about them you like.
Yeah.
Every acting teacher will tell you that. Every director will tell you that. Find something about that person you like. Look at them for the first time. Draw a blank slate.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it's easy because they're great people and they're beautiful and you just fall in love.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes it's not that case, but the audience has to believe you.
Mm-hmm.
So you say you're not a good actor. That's a really hard thing to do.
I don't think I'm a good actor. Like, I think I'm good at controlling my thoughts.
You're good at controlling your thoughts.
Yeah. Like I feel like I can convince myself I like someone or like convince myself.
That's acting, sister.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
But when it comes to like the acting parts, I'm not that
You mean
good.
Like saying lines and shit?
Yeah.
I could teach you how to do that. You know, the point is I believe you when you're doing your porn. I've not watched a lot of it, but on stripping, this is great. The only thing I hate is the $1 bills. I'm too embarrassed to use them, so I end up leaving thousands of dollars worth of singles in my car for valet money, quote unquote. It's strange. I don't even think twice before I show my inner organs to the world, but paying for things and $1 bills, it's just too mortifying. That was so great.
It's like so degrading to have to pay for anything. And maybe they don't even think that way, you know?
Getting come on by five guys is like, whatever.
Yeah, whatever.
I can't pay with...
Like,
oh,
I don't like using more than like five singles at one time. I just feel it, I don't know why. Like I feel really exposed.
Really?
I don't know why.
You have a button on poverty or did you grow up poor?
Maybe that's what it is actually because I wouldn't say I grew up poor, but I went to private school on a scholarship.
Okay.
So I was the poorest kid.
Oh, well, now
I was like the middle
something.
Class kid in a room of trust fund babies.
And they're rich in Manhattan. They got
really rich.
Money.
Oh, yeah.
Because they go on vacations to St. Bart's and you can't even think about doing that.
Exactly. So, yeah, I was.
So you were kind of
probably
on the,
that.
Yeah, on the outside looking in. You were always the girl that didn't have enough.
Yeah.
And now you're getting even.
Maybe. I mean, I'm not making that kind of money. Like, I'm
I
not
know.
Making trust fund baby
I know,
money.
I know. Nobody is. Which I want to get to. I want to get to the economics. Mm-hmm. On strap-ons. If I felt that kind of power from simply putting a fake penis on, it's frightening to imagine the kind of corruption I'd really be capable of if I was someday in a real position of power.
Yeah, it's embarrassing how I feel when I have a strap-on. Like, when I take it off, I'm like, I can't believe I said those things.
You are remarkably self-aware. You are remarkably self-aware. That you are a puzzle to most people because you're remarkably self-aware. And this stuff is funny and poignant.
Thank you.
And there's a lot in the book. I read a lot of books on this podcast, man. There's a lot in this book that's really funny and really kind of eye-opening. And I was reading pieces of it to the guy who's designing my, he's a contractor who helped me with my house. And he was like, he knows exactly who you are. And he was like, I got to read this book.
Oh, cool.
The book is called Insatiable. And then on being an active member of society. I keep thinking I've done nothing productive today, but then I remember, oh yeah, I did double anal this morning. I'm good. And I go back to watching a rerun of Teen Mom that I've already seen at least twice. You gotta laugh at this stuff, man.
Well, my life, like, outside of porn is really, like, I don't do anything. Like, I'm literally watching reality TV shows that I've already seen.
You're a bad example, Asa Akira. Keep your children away from this bitch.
But I believe in working really hard and resting really hard. Like, I'm crazy when I'm working out. Like,
right.
You know, I go really, really hard.
You look
but
great.
I also
you're in shape.
Yeah. But I also believe in, like, resting really hard.
Well, you talked about how in the book you talk about you had really bad acne and they couldn't figure it out and you went on Accutane.
Yes.
But then you talked to a doctor who said what?
So my dermatologist actually told me that it's a possibility that the reason, because my acne is definitely hormone based. I guess he can tell just by looking at my face because he's a dermatologist.
Right.
And he said that it's possible that the reason I'm getting acne is because I'm fucking so many guys that my testosterone levels are high.
Crazy.
And which makes sense because when guys go on steroids, all of a sudden they break out, you know?
Yes.
So it totally makes sense. And yeah, he said like the semen just, I don't know what it does, but it raises my testosterone levels.
So actually by ingesting semen, your testosterone level raises.
Yes.
I can see all these bodybuilders being like, guess I got to start sucking dick.
But it's, it's kind of embarrassing though, because I can't imagine like it's, you get that much testosterone from like one load, you know? Like you probably have to take so many for it to actually affect your skin.
You do gangbangs. So you know what? If you want to play, young lady, you're going to have to stay on your Accutane. I will say your skin is flawless right now.
Thank you.
You know, a lot of time you expect to see a porn star, and I've met many who sometimes can look pretty rough, but you don't.
That's, a lot of us have bad skin, and I guess that's why.
Yeah.
And also add to that the fact that we're wearing so much makeup, and then we're sweating during our scenes, and then we get touched up with more makeup. And
well, staff is a problem.
Yeah, staff. I've never gotten staff, but I'm definitely always like every time there's a mark on my body, I'm like, oh, staph.
Right.
Yeah.
What about penicillin-resistant gonorrhea? There's strains out there.
Well, I'm allergic to penicillin.
Oh,
so
is my mom.
So it's like I have to be really careful. And luckily, right now, I'm contracted to Wicked Pictures, and they're a condom-only company.
Really?
Which is great for me, yeah.
Oh, that's great.
And I don't believe in, like, the whole industry going condom-only, because our testing system works. Like,
yeah, it does.
And honestly, like, gonorrhea and chlamydia, it's, like, not to downplay them, but
it's not horrible.
Like, it's actually worse to have a cold.
Really?
Yeah, because gonorrhea and chlamydia are curable. Like,
you just take a pill,
and then it's gone.
And actually, it goes away on its own, too, sometimes.
Exactly,
right?
Yeah. And, like, so, you know, like, it's, but a cold, you're, like, stuck for the week, you know? Like, you can't just take a pill for it.
Right.
So, yeah, like, not to downplay it, but it's not so bad. And our testing system works. Like, no one's gotten HIV on set from since, like, I think, 94.
Right.
So we're safe.
And
we get tested every two weeks.
I think, was a tranny who had gone to,
yeah,
or had sex with a tranny
Brazil.
In Brazil, yeah.
And, like, and every time HIV has ever been transmitted on set, on a porn set, it's been through anal cream pie, which is when the guy comes in someone's asshole.
Right, and the guy's been getting fucked by other guys.
Right,
yeah.
So,
drugs.
Like, not that it's. I'm not trying to say, you know, oh, go like fuck whoever you want.
Right,
but our testing system works.
Well, people have always said you have a less of a chance of getting something from a porn star than you do from someone you meet at the bar.
Yeah,
yeah. Because for sure. Every girl I know, I know guys, I know directors, I used to know Vince Foyer pretty well. And you know
I was
Vince?
Contracted to his company when I first got.
We used to do jiu-jitsu together.
He's super into that.
Yeah,
whole
I like Vince
world.
And then Stoney Curtis, unknown, and I just know a lot of people just from through the comedy thing and through jiu-jitsu and stuff. And man, are they careful.
Oh man,
they don't fuck around. Mm-hmm. I've been on set where you guys look at your papers.
Yeah.
You give each other papers, you check them out, and then mm-hmm. you're like, you're done.
Yeah.
You know?
It's the thing that protects us.
Aren't you also working with the same people over and over again
a lot
of times?
Yeah. I mean, I have sex with like the same 30 guys over and over.
Yeah.
The girls, there's more of us, for sure. There's like thousands of us. But the guys, like... Once you've reached a certain level, you're really only fucking the same 30 over and over.
There you go. And sometimes it's even the same 6, right? It's not even 30. I mean,
I mean, honestly, like I see probably 10 of them the most often.
There you go. And most and that's the irony is like you talk to like porn stars and they really have been in the business for a while. It's kind of a small fraternity and they're all fucking each other.
Yeah.
It's not unlike being on a TV show where everybody starts having sex. You know, it's like if you actually think about the average civilian, there are a lot of people. I know a lot of dudes who have just as much sex as any porn star
right.
with every stranger they can, especially if they're good looking or I mean, L.A.
Right.
When you're young in L.A. and you're on a TV show. I was appalling. My behavior was appalling.
Well, I can imagine. Imagine, and now there's Tinder.
Oh my God! You're right. You're right. And
like
now
I know
Tinder.
That all those like those young guys on those TV shows and stuff. I know they're all on that.
Yeah. Now you could make a fortune. I know it's illegal, so we can't get into it. But you could make a fortune as Asa Akira, and there's an international market for you. You could escort and make, I bet you $10,000 a night more.
Yeah, I mean, I've done it.
Yeah.
I've definitely escorted before, and I did it twice. Mm-hmm. And
you talk about it in the book.
Yeah, it just, like, wasn't for me. Because, first of all, for me, like, sex is obviously a fantasy, but it's not, like, the fantasy. Mm-hmm. That's not, like, why I'm in porn, because I love fucking so much.
Right.
Which I do. But, like, to me, being in porn is, like, the fantasy. Like, being filmed and people jerking off to me and, like, the whole thing. Like, being a porn star
is porn star.
The fantasy.
Yeah, and you are a legit porn star.
Thank you.
You are. Thank you. Thank
yeah,
you.
That's a total compliment. But I do see it as a compliment. Yeah. I mean, for me, that's the fantasy.
Well, but so, you know, like, there are thousands of girls, and you have kind of made it. It's like Tara Patrick or any of you guys.
Yeah.
You know, when you're a name and people know your name in this business, because it chews women up.
Oh, definitely.
I mean, women do it for like a year and then go and just dance.
And
or...
if you're going to do that, it's not worth it. Like, you just ruined your whole life for nothing. It's not enough money to... ruin your life over.
Is that what you would say to young girls?
Definitely.
Trying to get into
it? Like, you gotta really, really wanna make a whole career out of it.
Because Stoney told me that, you know, one of the things, it used to be like you'd get these crazy girls, and mm-hmm. now you've got girls who are just downright ambitious and are seeing
definitely.
What with Jenna Jameson and what they, how much money they've made and the attention. And they approach it like a real business. Like,
oh,
Jenna
definitely.
Hayes, I heard, has a whole
oh,
line
definitely.
Of products.
Yeah. Jenna Hayes is like a great example of someone who's really used the business to her advantage and like came into it with a business mindset. 'Cause, you know, like you make money for the scenes and then you don't get royalties. So definitely the goal is to use those scenes to make a big enough name to be able to get like the Fleshlight, which is like getting a shoe for an athlete or, you know, or like
that's so funny.
Making your own website. And you want to be a big enough name that people will be drawn to see just you on your website. And that's money, you know, you could make for a long time.
What do you
after.
Sell on your website? What is your website?
I don't sell anything on my website. It's just scenes. Exclusive porn
and
scenes.
They have to put down a credit card and...
Yeah, and it's like a monthly fee.
How
it's
much
like
is it?
Like $20.
Wow.
To
how,
see
how
just
are you,
exclusive
are you making
content
money off your website?
Yeah. My website does great. I have the Fleshlight. And then like, yeah, you want to work toward the deals that are going to make you money... Even because you can't do this forever. I mean,
do you know? You know what I'm thinking of as you talk about this is how using a business that usually eats people up and spits them out to your advantage. Boxers. You know how many boxers are broke and can't talk? They can't talk right because they got the shit kicked out of them because they gave everything to a sport they love.
It's a lot like
a lot of MMA guys who for 15 years they gave it everything. and they entertained us, mm-hmm. and they were gladiators, and they're broken, forgotten, and they have no money. That's heartbreaking to me.
That's really similar.
It is similar.
Because
very few people
porn handicaps us in a different way,
yeah.
But it's a handicap for sure. I mean, there's so much we can't do now.
So what do you think you want to do when you're done? Long do you think you have?
I want to write more. I think I have...
You look young, man.
Thank you.
I mean, you do.
But like, it also depends like if I have a family or not. Because if I have kids, I'm done.
Yeah.
Like, I think it's okay. Not that it's wrong for like women to do porn like once they have kids, but that's not what I want to do.
Like, you think the bigger challenge will be dealing with how to get attention now that you don't, once the attention stops?
That's the scariest part for me. And I think it's also the scariest part for my husband is... Like, he knows how I am. I think for him it's really, really scary once the porn stops. Like, am I going to go crazy?
Once the music stops.
Like, yeah. Like, am I just going to fall into this deep depression?
I couldn't not do stand-up.
Right.
I would go crazy. I don't know what the fuck I would do.
I'd write. To find another way to get attention.
Yeah.
But, yeah, like, I really love writing, and I'm a huge reader. So writing, like, I'm already working on a second book. I'm trying... to, like, really make that happen.
So you're a huge reader?
Huge.
What do you read?
I read a lot of fiction, which is funny because I didn't write fiction. But I'm trying to write fiction now.
Did you read Memoirs of a Geisha?
Yeah, of course. I'm sure. I've read that, like, 4 times.
You're damn right. You
I love that book.
Give me your favorite books. I love that book, too.
I love anything by Chuck Palahniuk. Mm. Well, not anything. I like half his books. But I'll read anything by him. I really love David Sedaris and Augustine Burroughs.
I think that's
really obvious in like the way I write. Uh-huh. I'm so hugely influenced by them. What else? I like Agatha Christie a lot.
Really?
Yeah. Which just makes me sound like an old lady.
Akira likes Agatha Christie. Lest you people out there judge.
But, I mean, she writes really good mysteries.
Damn right she does. Are you kidding me?
Like,
she's
one of the greats. Poirot ones. Yeah, those are really good.
It's my mother's favorite.
Yeah, exactly. Like, yeah. It's, this day and age reads Agatha Christie?
Well, people who read.
Yeah, and it's great because her books are like $1 on Kindle now.
God, I love it.
What else? I read like quite a bit of YA. And I think it's
because
young adult. Mm. And I worked in a children's bookstore all through
You know you
high
read
school.
A lot when you can abbreviate YA. Yeah. I thought I read a lot.
So there, like, we used to get all these galleys for, like, young adult books and stuff. So I got really into those. Like, John Green.
Mm. Did you ever read Geek Love?
I don't think so.
Pick that up.
Okay.
I think it's Catherine Dunn.
Okay.
And it's about a family of circus freaks.
Oh, wait. I did read it.
Yeah.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
So good.
I read that. I
think a porn star or anybody like us, you know, like somebody who lives in this kind of weird performance world would be.
Do you read mostly fiction?
I don't. I read everything. I mean, I for the podcast, I read a lot of nonfiction. Mm-hmm. Because I kind of am, I think with this podcast, what I'm interested in is, as I'm doing it, is I really want to isolate what the big ideas are. Like, what I really like about a lot of books is the people that I have on my podcast a lot of times are like, look, this is what's wrong with the world. We mm-hmm. have a problem mm-hmm. with, say, our financial system or the way we think about science or whatever it might be. And this is what we should do about it. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's really controversial. You know, I had Paul Offit on my podcast, and he's a guy who is a doctor who created some vaccines, and he thinks that all alternative medicine is bullshit. And, mm-hmm. and man, oh, man, did I get attacked for it just for having him on.
Right.
And I love that, though, because I, you know, and of course I'll give Paul Offit's critics a voice as well. But, you know, I think I'm really into that. What are the big ideas and what are the real problems? What are the roots of the problems that we're challenged with? But then I also I love fiction. Mm-hmm. But then I like these sort of slice of life, you know, I'm fascinated with a book like this and with your example, because there are, you can find a lot of things. If you were my daughter, I would try to get you out of this. Mm-hmm. But again, you're so self-aware and you wrote this book and you're going to have your challenges, but We all do.
For sure.
I mean, we're all going to have our challenges, and we're all self-destructive to an mm-hmm. extent, all of us. Anybody that smokes, mm-hmm. anybody that's really fat, mm-hmm. these are self-destructive behaviors. Mm-hmm. part of what you do is self-destructive, mm-hmm. but part of what you do also has given you this power, status, money, mm-hmm. connection, mm-hmm. pleasure. So...
And honestly, I would have never gotten a book deal this easily if I hadn't
100% not.
Porn. I no. think that's probably how, like, my mom justifies me doing porn now. Like, now that I have a book, she's like, oh.
Well, my feeling is that you probably would have been successful at everything you did, anything you did.
I think I'm a pretty hard worker.
Well, you're smart.
Thank you.
You would have been a doctor. You could have been a lawyer. You could have been a teacher. I mm-hmm. know you could have. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't see how you couldn't have. But
yeah,
there was
like,
something.
If I were interested in those things, I think I could have. But, like, you know what? Like,
no, but there was something self-destructive in you, something,
oh, for sure.
something that you that drove you to do something insane. But it was also
Definitely.
Maybe it was also this idea that I'm going to be a. What is it about outlaws? Why are some people?
Maybe
why are some people
yeah.
have to do crime? They're addicted to the juice. Criminals are not addicted to jail. They're addicted to the juice. I've known them.
Right.
They're addicted to taking that risk and how it makes them feel. Mm-hmm. That's what they're addicted to. Mm-hmm. You know. So sometimes maybe you take a birth. You know.
I mean, yeah, no, definitely, like, just by being in porn, that in itself is self-destructive, for sure. I mean,
maybe.
I've ruined my life in
I
a
don't
lot
know about
of
that.
Ways. No, definitely, definitely. There's so many things that I'm limited from.
Yeah.
So many things. And, you know, I've outcasted myself, especially by writing a book, almost, you know, because now everyone knows.
I know, but that kind of endears me to you. Mm-hmm. But I really appreciate when somebody's this honest. Mm-hmm. And I don't,
I also think,
you know.
I also consider myself, like, I don't think, like, back to what you were saying about, like, if you had a daughter or you wouldn't want your daughter to do this. Like, I think, I don't consider myself, like, a good role model for women in general.
You
or
never
for
asked
girls.
To be, though, did you?
No, but at the same time, like, I consider myself a good role model to hypersexual girls.
Hmm.
Or, like, girls like myself. Like, I
Or
think,
you could be an example of what not to do, right? I mean, in that
yeah,
sense, you could
think
also
I am,
be...
Because, like, I think, like, at this point in my life, I mean, it's... I've done things on the way, but, like, at this point in my life, I think I'm... For, like, a hypersexual person, I think I'm having a casual sex life in the most safe way possible.
That's great.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, I'm only fucking tested people. I'm in a controlled environment where no one's going to hurt me or harm me. I'm capitalizing on it. It's not ruining my life now. I mean, this is what my life is, so it's only good for it.
And I'll add something else to that. Mm-hmm. I happen to believe you're providing a service that a multi-billion dollar industry because a shitload of people use it. A lot of
For sure.
upstanding, fine upstanding members of society.
Yeah.
Okay, that have a judgment on it.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna add that to it, which is why I just have never had a judgment on that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think at the end of the day that we need people like Asa Akira because I'm serious. That's in a free society.
Mm-hmm.
There are people that are on the fringes,
mm-hmm.
and that defines a free society in some ways. It also, I think it adds color.
Mm-hmm.
It adds color. I don't know that I want to live in a really boring society. There are a lot of societies in the past that would have taken people like you and put them in jail or killed them.
For sure.
And they still exist.
Yeah,
and they
exactly.
still exist. And because in the name of purity, in the name of God, in the name of controlling the code of decency,
mm-hmm.
or in instilling a code of decency on people that didn't ask for it,
mm-hmm.
and I think you represent a part of the human condition, a part of the human psyche, a need that a lot of us have.
Mm-hmm.
A fantasy that a lot of us would love to do but wouldn't for a thousand reasons. So
mm-hmm.
we have to live vicariously through you.
Mm-hmm.
There's a reason a lot of my friends who are really good guys and very good people know you very well. and it's because they've spent a lot of time watching you and they've gotten a lot of pleasure out of it.
I'm glad. I'm happy to
yeah,
hear that.
So, you know... Anybody who has a problem, they're entitled to that problem. But
mm-hmm.
I don't think you should be too hard on yourself. you will be, and you're finding your way. But you know, listen, we all have a journey here.
Mm-hmm.
And it sounds to me like you had the wherewithal not only to go through this, but to write a really entertaining book.
Thank you.
Do you want to maybe, I just gave you, there was a long diatribe there. Do you want to maybe direct or produce?
I do direct.
You do?
I direct. And it's actually, like, I like it, but I don't, like, when I started performing, I immediately knew, I was like, I love this. I really love this. Even when I started writing the book, I was like, I love this. Like, I just want to do this all day, every day. But directing for me is fun, but it's not as fun as performing.
Mm.
It's just not.
It's not.
It's, like,
I feel that way about acting. Like, she'll say, do you want to direct? I'm like, nah, too much work, bro.
It's just so much work. And the thing is, there's the fun part, which is being on set, right? But then there's so much stuff around it that's not fun at all. Like dealing with all the mundane
tedium,
little
man.
Details.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, that's not
get a
fun
sponge. She's got a thing. Turn her this way.
Yeah.
The lighting sucks. Stop, cut, all that shit.
Yeah, like, I'm just...
How long does it take
right.
to shoot a scene?
It depends what company, and it depends, like, how many cameras you're working with, or, like, what kind of porn it is. Like, for a feature, which is, like, a porno with dialogue and stuff, it's, like, long, long hours, long days.
Just like doing a movie.
Yeah. I mean,
always say, if people can see how you shoot a movie, it's like, you'd be so over it.
Yeah. Like, I mean, there's days where it's like, okay, you're starting your anal gangbang at 3 a.m.
Oh,
and you've
God.
Been there since 8 a.m.
No.
There's days like that.
And you haven't eaten all day.
Well, I eat.
Well, but
I have my system, but there are girls who don't eat.
Well, no, because it's anal.
Yeah, that's, yeah.
So there's a diet you have
for
to...
For me, like, yeah, like, I'll eat lightly all day and I'm okay, but there's definitely girls who cannot eat at all. So that sucks for them. But on a Gonzo set, like, you typically get there around 9 a.m.
To explain what Gonzo is.
Gonzo is just straight up sex. There's no dialogue. There's no plot. It's 5 scenes in one movie, and they're not necessarily... There might be one theme, like, big asses, but it's not, like,
right.
There's no plot.
See, I didn't know that. I thought Gonzo was having sex with lots of different people. Like, a
no,
lot of guys.
That's just, like, a group scene, I guess.
Hmm.
But... So for a Gonzo set, you get there around 9 a.m., you get out of makeup around 10:30, and then you shoot some pictures, and you're done by like 3 or 4 p.m.
Wow.
And that's one scene.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
That's work.
But the actual sex is like 30 minutes. Mm-hmm. It's like the pictures and the teas and stuff.
This is exactly like acting. I've been on a couple sets. I've seen them shoot, so I know what you're talking about. But it's like acting. It's like, I swear to God, you're there 16 hours a day. I swear to God, 15 minutes of it is actual acting.
Right.
It's 15, 20 maybe. Maybe.
Right.
It's like, it's like amazing how tedious it is.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean,
can you even imagine, like, when they were shooting on film? It's like, I can't even
I'm amazed guys can just keep it hard, man. That, you know, that's
well,
a, that's
use,
a good
like, Viagra and stuff.
They do, right?
Yeah, like pretty. I would say pretty much all of them use.
Is there such a thing
enhancers.
As a fluffer, or is that a lie?
There's no such thing as a fluffer. Like, I'm the fluffer.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think that's really important, though. That girl's fluff, like, even when the camera's not rolling, to stay connected. I think that's like so important. I find it so crazy when like. The cameras will stop rolling for a second, and then the girl like walks to the other side of the room. It's like
when people
it's
hate
so
each
important
other.
To yeah, like stay connected and like keep the facade going. You know.
Well, I actually think that part of the reason you've been so successful is you're beautiful, of course, but I actually think that the difference between you and most porn women is that I believe you. I haven't seen much of your stuff, like I said, I only watched it last night, but. I believe you. I believe your face.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that you're really enjoying it.
Well,
and I don't with most women.
I think also a lot of it is like, I think a lot of girls enjoy it but don't look like it because they don't allow themselves to, they're like too aware of how they look on camera. Like I try not to think about it too much because, and like a lot, I watch all my own porn, but like a lot of times I'll be like, whoa, I should never make that face again. But once I'm on set, like, I'm not even thinking about it. And I think that if you think about that too much, you're not going to look like you're really fucking.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Do you know of how many porn women who'd been in the business a long time? You mentioned one who's 44, I think, now.
Julie Ann.
Yeah. But how many porn women do you know that are, I mean, you've probably seen a lot of people in porn crash and burn as they gotten older because they didn't know what to do with that energy.
Mm-hmm.
How many women do you know and men do you know who are not that way in their 40s and 50s? I mean, Nina Hartley would be an example of somebody who seems to have it together.
Nina Hartley definitely has it together. What do you mean by like?
In other words, like the story, the narrative would probably, for most people, would probably say, well, Asa Akira or, you know, whoever it might be, Tara Patrick or whoever. Yeah. They're superstars now, but they're going to end up, you know, with mm-hmm. a needle in their arm and the drama, you know, they're going to be, it's going to catch up to them. There's always this idea that all the fun you had is going to catch up to you. That what you did is going to ultimately catch up to you. And you're going to, at 50, you're going to be dead somewhere. This is the narrative that we're always given.
Yeah.
And in fact, a lot of times it's not true.
A lot of times it's not true. I think a lot of times it is true.
Yeah.
I mean, look at Jenna Jameson. She was the biggest star ever, and she's like...
She's having a hard time.
Yeah, such a mess now. But I think also it's kind of different now. Like, I think in... I mean, obviously there's exceptions like Julia Ann and Nina Hartley and a lot of exceptions. But I think it's like also a different era of... Like, the girls in... A lot of the girls in porn now... are feminists. They're intelligent. They could do a million other things, but they choose to do porn. Mm. And, you know, they're not necessarily like victims of rape or drug addiction or anything like that. And I think that there were probably more of those girls before.
Yeah.
Which is just how it seems. Nowadays, I feel like you can't even really become a star if you're like a crackhead.
No way.
Which
it's too competitive.
And
nobody wants to work with you, right?
Exactly. And it's just such a business now. Mm. Whereas before, I think...
There are fewer people doing it, so you took what you could get, sort of.
Right. Yeah. I think that's what it is. And I'm sure the internet has a lot to do with that.
But hasn't the internet, with all these free sites, mm-hmm. hasn't the internet kind of cut into your bottom line? Is it hard to make a living now?
Well, see... The internet's been around since I got in, which was 2008. So I don't see the difference.
Oh, wow. Okay.
But, and like, it's not like I make royalties or anything, you know? I just get paid for my scene and that's it. But I definitely hear about, like, the good old days of porn when everyone was making so much money and everyone was making, like, 30 grand a month for doing, like, nothing. And, you know, I definitely hear about that, but I wasn't there for it.
Right. Good.
The internet's always been around for me, so.
Well, I appreciate you coming on, man. And the book is
Thanks
called Insatiable, Asa Akira. You are a delight, and you are a walking paradox, man. You are self-aware, and you got a good sense of humor. And David Cho is the artist on the book. And what's your website?
AsaAkira.com and also DVDASA.com.
DVDASA.
That's the podcast, yeah.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and then I'll listen to it. Porn, a love story, Insatiable, Asa Akira. And if you want to laugh again, Pasadena Ice House, Friday, Saturday.
Oh, can I say one quick thing?
Yeah, whatever.
I used to work at the Laugh Factory in New York.
You
and
did?
That guy, Dove.
Yeah.
He was like, I remember him being really funny.
He's amazing, right?
Yeah, he's really funny.
Dove Davidoff, you were at the Laugh Factory? I love
it. Yeah, I was a hostess there.
Really? Mm-hmm. Before you got into porn?
Yeah, way before.
Ooh.
I was like 17 or something.
Oh, that's great. All right, well, you know what? Dove Davidoff and I are headlining. I'm excited. He's one of my closest best friends, and he's such an original comic. So come out, and then I'll be at the Calusa Casino, and then I'll be in Edmonton, then I'll be in Toronto. Asa Akira, you are the queen of porn. You've earned it, sister.
Thank you.
And you're awesome. Thank you. Bye.
You've been listening to The Brian Callen Show with Brian Callen. Be sure to like him on Facebook. Just search for Brian Callen Comedy. And follow him on Twitter. Just search for @BrianCallen. You can also find him online by visiting his website. Just go to briancallen.com. Until next time, bye-bye.